사랑하는 성도 여러분, 전 세계 및 전국의 지교회 성도 여러분, 지성전 성도 여러분, 전 세계 인터넷을 통해 예배
Dear brothers and sisters, all members from the local sanctuary and all members from the world joined this service through the GCN. This is the 8th lecture on Genesis. So far, I've given 6 lectures to explain the spiritual beings, the angels and the cherubim. Angels and the cherubims are the spirits that God manages, and their number is countless. Their world is well organized under strict order, and they work perfectly according to the command of God. Through these angels and the cherubim, God has governed the entire universe. At some point after the countless time, a great incident occurred in the spiritual realm. Lucifer, who had been greatly loved by the Godfather, rebelled against God. Rebellion in God's kingdom, the spiritual world? It sounds interesting, huh? Or someone could think, how could it be possible? How could an angel that served God rebel against him? In order to understand this, you have to understand about the Lucifer well. In the 14th lecture, I explained about the Lucifer, Lucia, and the Luciel. These three archangels were created to serve God, and they were higher in rank than other more common archangels. One unique thing about them was that they were given a sense of a human nature. Angels are beings of the obedience without humanity for their own thought or emotion. However, these three archangels possessed. In fact, that they were given human natures means they would have a free will as well. Because God wanted to receive the service that came from their hearts. Other angels and the cherubims are created to obey unconditionally at the given order. However, since these three archangels had a humanity, they obeyed God by understanding His heart. They could have disobeyed in their free will, but they chose to obey Him because they felt the love of God in their heart. Therefore, the level of their obedience was different from that of the other angels and the cherubim. God the Father loved these three angels so much that He allowed them to enjoy the great honor and authority. Lucifer was even more special among them. Besides the duty of the serving God the Father, Lucifer was in charge of the music. She always praised God with a beautiful voice and the various instruments. She also pleased God the Father with a sweet conversation. God the Father loved Lucifer so much that she always gave him joy and happiness, and God treated her like a son. Lucifer came to possess the great authority as the most honored of all the angels in the cherubim. Then arrogance sprung up in her heart, and it gradually grew stronger. And there was an incident that really brought her arrogance to the forefront, and there was when she was given the title of the Morning Star. The title Morning Star was originally given to God the Son, who had been given the mission as a Savior. When such a glorious title was given to the Lucifer herself, she eventually began to show the pride of her heart outwardly. The reason Father God gave Lucifer the title of the Morning Star was to show that she is a being who received a special love from God. Additionally, this title was also given to the Lucia and the Luciel equally. However, Lucifer became arrogant and thought that she considered herself equal to the Son of God. As God the Father created Lucifer, He gave her a kind and a tender heart. Since he wanted to share the true love, he gave her free will even though she was an angel. While serving God the Father for long ages, Lucifer watched what God did. Lucifer also saw the great authority of God the Father who governs an entire spiritual realm. Then she began to covet the power, and the proud that she could do better grew in her heart. At the same time, however, Lucifer knew it was never an easy job to take over the throne of God. She knew what kind of a final outcomes awaited it if she failed. However, her arrogance blinded her eyes and her discernment became dull. She only thought about how she was going to defeat God, and she'd been planning rebellions for quite some time. And she came to the conclusion that if things went as she had planned, she could occupy the throne of God. Jesus gave Judas Iscariot many opportunities to turn and awaken to reason. Matthew chapter 26:24-25 says, "The Son of Man is to go just as it's written of him, but woe to the man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born." And the Judas who was betraying him said, "That surely it is not I, Rabbi." Jesus said to him, "You have said it yourself." Our Lord had sufficiently enlightened Judas Iscariot, and he himself was realizing it. Like this, Jesus convinced Judas Iscariot of the truth, but Judas didn't turn back. Dear brothers and sisters, just as arrogance blinded Lucifer's eyes and made her lose her discernment, greed can result in the same loss. Greed for money and the lust for honor and authority can also blind your eyes and confuse your decisions making. For example, a businessman may expand his business beyond his scope due to his greed for money. And when things don't go well as he thinks, he may fall into difficulties. Or he may be tempted by the sweet promise of a big returns if he invests somewhere or a large sum of money, and ending up losing his initial investment. This is precisely the result of the greed losing the ability to make a right decision. When loss has conceived, people become reckless and fall into the way of the destruction. However, the blessing in God is to have a spirit and a soul prosper. Then God leads you to the prosperous way. For example, when you sow in good land with honestly, God helps you to reap 30, 60, or 100 times more fruits. I urge you to sow properly like this. I want none of you to be blinded due to greed. Not only greed, but arrogance and pride can also result in the same loss of judgment and discernment. When your eyes are blinded by them, you cannot understand the will of God as well as you cannot live by His will. I hope you will cleanse your eyes and the heart with the Word of God and the prayer. Dear brothers and sisters in the Christ, after concluding that she could defeat God if she went according to her plan, she set out to put her plans into the action one by one. How would things go on next? How would those plans unfold? First, she rallied those who could help her. Throughout the history, traders who staged a coup first gathered their close forces. She won over the angels that were under her influence. She also gained the angels that were in leading position under the supervision of other archangels. For example, let's say a general carries out a coup in an army. then all the soldiers under his command can naturally side with the general. They unconditionally move at the general's order even without knowing what's going on. Even in such a case, if a soldier says, "This is not right, so I cannot participate," he is immediately punished. Even a man who has a free will follows the order, no matter it's right or wrong. Not to mention angels who have to know free will. Angels were created to unconditionally obey a given order from above. Therefore, it was natural that the angels under the supervision of Lucifer follow her will. Then how could the angels under the supervision of the other archangels join the Lucifer? I said the Lucifer was the most honored being among the angels and the cherubim. All the angels and the cherubims knew that Lucifer was always with God the Father. They had seen and they had no doubt that she was loved by God. Simply speaking, her power was so great that when they thought of her, God came to their mind. Therefore, the angels below the archangels will also fall under the influence of Lucifer. For example, the general in one unit stage a coup, and the company commander in another unit that joined the coup. Then the soldiers under the command of the captains also joined the coup. Perhaps women do not know the ranks in a military. Military ranks from the lowest to the highest are Brigadier General, Major General, Lieutenant General, General, and the General of Army, called GA. The GA is the five-star general and is called a Marshal. In the Bible, a centurion is mentioned, and it is known how many soldiers he commands. Are there about 120 soldiers under the command of the company commander, right? A platoon leader commands a platoon of about 45 soldiers. Armies vary, so it's not exact, but a platoon typically consists of about 40 to 45 soldiers. Like this, the soldiers under the command of the company commander also participate together. In this way, the many of the mid-ranking angels under the other archangels joined her. And the angels below these mid-level managing angels are naturally joining the Lucifer as well. In this way, the number of the angels who joined the Lucifer reached one-third of all angels. Such an incredible number of angels came to follow Lucifer. Lucifer gained not only angels but also cherubim over to her side. First, she won over the dragons that were a top leader of a cherubim and gained the countless cherubim under the influence of the dragons. In fact, Lucifer thought that if she could get the dragons on her side, her plan would be successful. Since the dragons always encircle the throne of God, they could hear God all the time. They also observed how God reigned in the spiritual world, since the dragons were near the throne of God through the endless ages. Even though they didn't have a humanity, they felt and knew the heart and the will of God. This was what Lucifer wanted to from the dragons. She thought she could defeat God if she gained the advantage with the dragons. However, Lucifer also knew that the dragons that were loved great by God would not betray God so easily and join her. So she set up elaborate schemes to seduce them. She bewitched them with the clever words that they could not help but fall for. What did she say to them? She said, "It's not to betray the God. It's indeed to help God. God actually have given me authority to carry out this job." To stand against God like this, many seems to betray God, but all of this is under the will and the plan of God. Secretly, we will eventually reach the glorious position in the future. Lucifer told them that God set up her as a head and gave authority to carry all the tasks to complete the mission. She said that the dragons would enjoy such a great authority and the glory in the future if they accomplished the mission along with her. The dragons were deceived by this plot. But they knew that their actions were against God. But they were deceived by the temptation of Lucifer because Lucifer's lying appealed to them. She said it was all according to the will of God, that it was all for God, and that they would be given great glory in the future. Now, who was Lucifer who talked like this? It was the best honored archangel that was especially favored by God with such a great authority. Such a Lucifer said as if she had been carrying a secret mission according to the will of God, and so dragons were deceived. When traitors plan a coup, they lied to the king or the head of the country's inner circle with nice words. For example, this is a secret between me and the leader. He ordered me to form a secret organization and I will carry it out while he turns a blind eye. Eventually, those inner circle will join the coup. But it turned out that's all lies. It's a kind of a scheme. But the betrayer just shared his scheme with this big lie. To help you understand this situation better, I will give you an example. There's a company and executive who was loved and recognized by the CEO of the company came to the plot scheme. Out of his arrogance and greed, he forgot his position and he wanted to take over the company. So he started to rally men of the same mind in the company. Meanwhile, he thought he would need a person who knows well about the CEO and even about the confidential information of the company. He thought of his secretary and he won the secretary over to his side. He also won over people who had influence in the many departments of the company. However, he also knew that they would not follow him if he told them his plan honestly, so he thought of a plot. I'm going to promote a new business plan according to the will of Mr. CEO. It's not to betray him nor this company. It's actually to help this company. If we manage this job well, we will be greatly rewarded by the president, the CEO. But you should keep it undercover until it's finished. With honeyed words and a false promise like this, the betrayer lures people into their trap. In the eyes of the people who are being deceived, the executive seems to be trusted by the CEO, and he has quite a bit of the authority within the company. When he talks like this, others somewhat doubt him at first, but in the end, they are deceived. They are lured into the trap by the promise of a big reward if things go well. Those who are deluded are interested in what will benefit them, so they fall for the promise of the promotion and the financial benefits. It's like if you keep throwing bait at someone, even though they were skeptical at first, they will eventually bite. This is a principle similar to fishing. A skilled fisherman casts their baits with a precision, placing it right in the path where fish travel. That is how he can attract the fish. The plot that Lucifer used to deceive the dragons and the other angels was the same as this. Using all her wisdom, Lucifer made a plot one over many and rebelled against God. But how could he defeat God the Father, who is Almighty? Lucifer was perfectly defeated and confined in the deep darkness along with those who followed her. They were all confined in the abyss, which is the deepest part of the hell in the spiritual realm. The rebellion of Lucifer, her defeat, and its result in the wall explained in Isaiah chapter 14, 12 to 15. It says, "How you have fallen from heaven, O star of the morning, son of the dawn. You have been cut down to the earth, you who have weakened and the nations. But you said in your heart, I will ascend to the heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of the God, and I will sit on the mount of the assembly in the recess of the north. I will ascend above the highest of the clouds. I will make myself like most high. Nevertheless, you will be thrust down to the shore, to the recess of the peat." She became to the ridiculously arrogant and disobeyed God. Are you also disobedient? If so, you are arrogant. Adam and Eve also disobeyed because they became arrogant. They were simply tempted by the cunning serpent that said if they ate the banned fruits, their eyes would be opened and they would be equal to God. When they heard that, they became proud and the fruit looked different from before. It looked delicious and desirable. So they ended up eating the fruits. In the end, they went to the path to the death. Adam should have punished the Eve, but he joined her. The verse says again, "Nevertheless, you will be thrust down to the shell, to the recess of the peat." The Bible has a record about the angels that followed Lucifer. 2 Peter chapter 2, 4 says, "For if God did not spare the angels when they sinned, but cast them into the hell and committed them to pits of darkness reserved for judgment, so it means Jude chapter 1, 6 says, "And angels who did not keep their own domain, but abandoned their proper abode, he has kept in eternal bonds under the darkness for the judgment of the great day." What is the judgment of the great day? It's a great judgment of the white throne. The angels that followed Lucifer were confined in the abyss, which is the deepest in the hell. The dragons couldn't escape from the punishment of God either. Isaiah chapter 51:9 says, "Awake, awake, put on the strength, O worm of the Lord. Awake as the days of the old, the generation of a long ago. Was it not you who cut Rahab in pieces, who pierced the dragon?" In other words, these dragons also fell for Lucifer's temptation and joined the betrayal, and they ultimately received God's wrath. In the end, they too were abandoned. It says, "God the Lord pierced the dragon." Psalm chapter 74:13 says, "Though didn't this divide the sea by the strength, though brackets of the head of the dragons in the waters." As I said, the dragons were also punished and confined in the abyss. Like this, the rebellion of Lucifer was brought to the end. Like this, and the peace all was all over the spiritual realm once again. However, as God the Father began the human cultivation in earnest, He released Lucifer and the dragons so that they could reside in the second heaven. God released them again to use them for human cultivation. Of course, He also released some of the fallen angels and the cherubims that belongs to the Lucifer and the dragons. As I may explain in a greater later, God allowed the war of the evil spirits with Lucifer as it had to be established. And He gave them a chance to challenge God in the stage of the human cultivation. No matter how excellent an athlete is, what is the use if he wins a one-man race? Only when he wins the race after competing with another runners can his first prize be of worth. If you run alone, you will definitely get first place, no matter how bad you are. What's the point? God the Father also had a plan to compete against the evil spirits as He began the human cultivation. And as the time came, He released Lucifer and the dragons from the abyss. He also released their servants that they could command so that they could have a strength to challenge against God. It's not that they were all released, that they were supposed to be locked up in the darkness forever until the great judgment, but some of them were released for human cultivation. That's it. God allowed Lucifer and the evil spirits sufficient power to fight against God's armies, such the four living creatures, archangels, and angel militaries. So God the Father allowed the Lucifer's world almost equal to compete with God's angels and the cherubims, such as the four living creatures. Then human cultivation began. Of course, God didn't release the entire number of angels and cherubim. Since one-third of angels joined the rebel, the number is vast. Among them, God released the only proper number of angels that Lucifer could command during the period of human cultivation. The number of fallen angels who have been released is only a small fraction of the number of the fallen angels who were imprisoned in the abyss. The number of those angels is infinitely countless, beyond the concept of the billion or 100 billion. Why? Because there's no end. The universe has no end, and the spiritual world of God has no end. So even if God released a number, it won't be much. If the total number of human cultivation in the last day is 8 billion, shouldn't they create a large number of the people who can check the 8 billion of those people? So if you think so, the angels who came out of the abbeys are rarely, only a few relatively. Only a small number of the cherubim were also released. Therefore, the majority of the angels and cherubim that joined the rebel are still confined in the abbeys. Only the small number of them was released and used as an instrument to complete the human cultivation. By the way, I say again that even though the number of the released angels and cherubims are so small compared to the number of the rest of fallen angels confined, the number itself is not small at all. Say, if the number of the entire angels was 300 billion, the number of the angels just that joined the rebel was 100 billion. If 1,000 of this number was released, it would be 100 billion angels that were released. As a ratio concept, I'm using this number for your easy understanding, not the actual number. Therefore, even though I said the number of the released angel is relatively small, it's not a small number at all. God wanted to have a fair match with Lucifer in the stage of the human cultivation. If the number of the spirits she could command had been even a little less, would she have remained silent? God gave Lucifer the number of the angels that would be satisfactory to her. God allowed her to build her own world without any lack in order to play fair, so she couldn't argue about it any longer. Lucifer said the arrogant words to God the Trinity before she was confined in the abyss, and the part will continue in the next lecture. You might be wondering what she said. Just wait until next time. Dear brother and sister in the Christ, God the Father knew in advance that Lucifer would do all these things. God Father knew whom Lucifer allied with to betray God, and when she carried it out when creating the spiritual world. The Lord also knew in advance that Judas Iscariot would betray him. However, in order to manage the human cultivation and to acquire the true children, he also knew this would be necessary. However, it does mean that God encouraged Lucifer to do all this. God the Father enlightened Lucifer so that she would not choose evil for it. God the Father rather gave her the all greater love. Nevertheless, Lucifer didn't get rid of arrogance but chose to betray God. God the Father is omniscient and foresee everything. Since he knows what will take place in the future, he accomplishes what he wishes according to his will. God the Father knew what Lucifer would do even if he loved Lucifer. He knew that Lucifer would stand against God out of the arrogance and that Lucifer would become the head of the evil spirits. However, God the Father manages human cultivation in the perfect justice through this evil spirit in order to get true children. However, how wonderful the wisdom of God the Father and how profound His providence is. Romans chapter 11:33 says, "Oh, the depth of the riches both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgment and the unfathomable His way." No matter how wise Lucifer considers herself, her wisdom is just not even close to God the Father's. Therefore, I wish all of you revere God the Father, who is the foundation of wisdom. Proverbs chapter 22:4 says, "The rewards of humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life." Please try to be humble before God and everyone else. Also, fear the Lord. So what will be the outcomes for you? It is none other than the blessing of wealth, glory, and the life. May you receive the overflowing blessing as you revere God from the depth of your heart and give a great glory to God. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray.
Hallelujah! Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local centers, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables, and internet all over the world, transcending space and time. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs and viruses, and infirmities, go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. Be cleansed and made well. All epidemic diseases such as colds and fever, go away from them. Protect them from any kinds of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers like stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's diseases, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis, and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes and the deaf come to hear and mute begin to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues, and cells, and bring the dead back to life. Father, please bless them to conceive a baby. Bless them to conceive a baby. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces, and their servants, go away from them. Go away, you evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits, and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in their prayer and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their home, their business, and their work by the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with the heavenly host and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things, and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, I've met God, I've experienced God, and received His answers and blessings. Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.